This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه مستن بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه آمين يا رب العالمين. أما بعد, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, so far in this series on the parables from the Sunnah, we have until now covered pretty much all the parables that are found in Bukhari and Muslim. And so now we move on to the parables mentioned in Ahadith that are found in the rest of the books of Hadith, in the rest of the collections of Ahadith, such as the four Sunan, Sunan Abi Dawood, Sunan Tirmidhi, Sunan An-Nasa'i, Sunan Ibn Majah, and other books of Hadith like the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. And these other Ahadith, where we find parables in these other books of Hadith, you have authentic Ahadith as well as inauthentic Ahadith. And so the ones that we will be covering, insha'Allah ta'ala, are those that are authentic. And so there are many, many parables mentioned that are not really authentic. So we're not going to be going through those, insha'Allah. We're only going to stick to the authentic ones, bi-idhnillah. And so the first hadith that we have here tonight is a hadith found in Sunan Abi Dawood, which basically shows us the danger of following our whims and our desires when it comes to our deen. And so this hadith is narrated by Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiyallahu anhu. The narrator, he says that Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, أنه قام فينا فقال ألا إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قام فينا فقال. He says that Muawiyah stood among us and he said, indeed the Messenger of Allah stood among us, and then he said, so the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, ألا إن من قبلكم من أهل الكتاب افترقوا على ثنتين وسبعين ملة وإن هذه الملة ستفترق على ثلاث وسبعين ثنتان وسبعون في النار وواحدة في الجنة وهي الجماعة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, beware the people of the book, the people of the scripture before you had split up into 72 sects. And this community, meaning this ummah, will split up into 73. 72 of them will go to the hellfire, and only one will go to paradise, which is, the Prophet ﷺ said, which is the jama'ah, which is the jama'ah, which means the community. And that refers to the companions and those who followed them from among the tabi'un and taba' tabi'un, and all those who followed in their footsteps until the Day of Judgment. So the narrators of this hadith, they added, Zada ibn Yahya wa Amr fi hadithayhima, in two narrators, they added in their versions the following: وَإِنَّهُ سَيَخْرُجُ مِنْ أُمَّتِي أَقْوَامٌ تَجَارَى بِهِمْ تِلْكَ الْأَهْوَاءِ كَمَا يَتَجَارَى الْكَلَبُ لِصَاحِبِهِ وَقَالَ عَمْرٌ الْكَلَبُ بِصَاحِبِهِ لَا يَبْقَى مِنْهُ عِرْقٌ وَلَا مَفْصِيلٌ إِلَّا دَخَلَهُ. These two other versions of this hadith, the additions are, the first, there will be, the Prophet ﷺ said, there will appear among my ummah, a people who will be dominated by those whims, by those ahwa, those whims and desires, like rabbis, or like rabies, which penetrates its patient. And the other version, Amr's version, rabies in a patient does not leave a vein or a joint, except that it penetrates through it. And so this hadith, first and foremost, Imam Abu Dawood, he actually narrated this hadith from Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And so Abu Dawood was actually one of the students of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And in his Sunan, in the Sunan of Abu Dawood, you'll find many ahadith where he narrates directly from Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Secondly, the scholars, they disputed the authenticity of this hadith, with some considering these various additions to be weak, although they agreed that the original hadith that talks about the 73 sects, that this is authentic, based on numerous other narrations found in many other books of hadith concerning how this ummah will split up into 73 sects. So when we gather all of those narrations, it basically brings the level of this hadith up to the level of Hasan. And so many scholars, they consider this hadith to be Hasan. And so if we were to look at, you know, the gradings that the scholars of hadith use to grade a hadith, you find basically the most authentic is Sahih, authentic. And then after that comes Hasan, which means good. It's chain of narrators is good. And then after that you have Dha'if, which is weak. So among the scholars who graded this hadith as being Hasan is Sheikh Al-Albani. May Allah have mercy upon him. He graded this hadith as being Hasan. And so in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ started by mentioning how the Jews and the Christians had split up into 72 sects. And in other narrations, it mentions that the Jews had split up into 71 sects, and the Christians had split up into 72 sects. And then the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the sad reality of how our ummah will also split up into several sects. And so our ummah will split up into 73 sects. And so all of these sects will be destined for the hellfire, except for one that will be saved, and that is the saved sect, which in other narrations of this hadith, the companions, they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who are they? You know, describe to us who this saved sect is. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, those who are upon what me and my companions are upon today. Those who remain upon what me and my companions are upon today. And so what is meant by this hadith, and, you know, the various sects that will split up in this ummah, is that these sects that deviate, what is meant is their deviation in aqidah. and in the usul of the deen, the fundamentals of the deen. And so if you want to identify a sect as being deviated and, you know, leading its followers to the hellfire, then basically it is one of those sects that has deviated concerning the fundamentals of our deen, concerning our beliefs concerning Allah, our beliefs concerning this deen, our beliefs concerning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so on and so forth. As for the differences that occurred in this ummah that were not from that category of aqidah and the usul of the deen, such as the differences that occurred even among the companions and the tabi'een of issues concerning fiqh, for example, where they had differences of opinion concerning fiqh-related issues, then that does not come under this hadith. And so we have various schools of fiqh. Where basically these schools of fiqh can be traced back to one of the great scholars of Islam, whether it be Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik, or Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, or any other of the scholars, of the early scholars of Islam. And so all of these scholars, they were from Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, from the saved sect. And they were not from one of the deviant sects that is headed for the hellfire. And so this is something very, very important to differentiate, we have to differentiate between what is a deviant sect that should be warned against and what is considered a group from this ummah that may have some mistakes, they may have some errors, but we don't consider them to be a deviant sect headed for the hellfire. And so the reason for the deviation of these various deviant sects that deviated, whether it was early on in this ummah, such as the Khawarij, the Shia, the Rafida, or, you know, other sects that emerged early on in our Islamic history, or those that came later until this very day, where until today you have sects that are emerging. Modern day sects like the Qadianiyya, who consider they believe in a prophet that came after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They call themselves the Ahmadiyya. Or you have, for example, the Nation of Islam. They also believe in a prophet, and so on and so forth. Whether they are the early sects or the later sects, what we find is the reason for their deviation was that they followed their whims and their desires, and they did not fully submit to the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so they did not fully submit to the texts of the Quran and the Sunnah. Rather, they gave preference to their own whims, their own desires, to their own opinions, to their limited human intellects. And so that was the reason for their deviation. And so this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he gave the example that he gave in this hadith concerning the grave danger of these whims and these desires. And so he sallallahu alaihi wasallam compared these people. He compared them to a person who gets bitten by an animal, like a dog, who infects him with a disease. And this deadly disease is actually a virus known as rabies. And so in the past, if you were infected with this virus, you would eventually die, because the virus affects the brain and the spinal cord. And in the past, they never really had any treatment for it. But today, it can be treated as long as you get medical attention before the symptoms start to appear. And so the person who follows his whims and his desires in opposition to, you know, the revelation, the Quran and the Sunnah, he is rarely able to rid himself of this disease of following his whims and his desires, because they penetrate deep into his heart and they spread across his body, just like this disease of rabies. When a dog bites you and he infects you with this virus, and so it leads to, you know, it leads to his ruin, it leads to his destruction in the Akhirah, just like that disease leads to the death of the person. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described how these people will be dominated by their whims, meaning that their innovations, their various bid'ahs that they invent, will spread like wildfire. And so just like rabies can be spread by anyone who has it by simply biting somebody else, likewise, a person of bid'ah who calls to a certain bid'ah, he spreads his innovations to others, and it's not something only restricted to himself. And so this is the second danger of following our whims and our desires in opposition to the Quran and the Sunnah. And so among the lessons that we can learn from this hadith and this parable that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned is, first of all, the importance of seeking knowledge and having knowledge of one's aqidah that is based on what the Prophet ﷺ and his companions taught. And so Islam is unique in every way, including its beliefs. Our beliefs are something that we have to preserve. It's something we have to hold on to. And the only way we can do that is by learning it. And so it's unfortunate that today many Muslims, they are ignorant of the very basics of what they have to believe in order for them to be considered Muslims. And so many Muslims, they don't know the very basics of our deen, the very basics of our aqidah. And so this shows us the importance of seeking knowledge, starting with our aqidah, and then building oneself from there. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us what we need to believe in. He taught us what is considered from the core beliefs of Islam, that if a person was not to believe in it, he wouldn't be considered a Muslim. And the companions, they taught us and they passed these teachings onward to the next generation and then the next generation. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said that the best of my ummah is my generation, the generation of the companions. Then the generation that comes after them, meaning the tabi'un, the followers of the companions, then the generation that follows them, meaning the tab'a tabi'un, the followers of the companions. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped there. This is because until here, these first three generations, they had preserved the deen. They had preserved the deen, and many innovations started to appear in that third generation and afterwards. And so our aqidah that we hold on to, that we believe in, it must be based on what they had taught. It must be based on what they had taught, not those who came after them who taught things which oppose the teachings of those three generations. The second lesson that we learn from this hadith is the importance of submitting to the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran and the Sunnah, and the danger of following one's whims and desires when they conflict with what Allah has revealed. And so both the Quran and the Sunnah are considered wahi from Allah, revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some Muslims, we think that the Quran alone is Allah's revelation and not the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But no, even his statements are considered revelation from Allah. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Najm, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. He, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, does not speak from his own whims. He doesn't, whatever he says concerning this deen, whatever he says attributing to Allah, attributing to Islam, it is not from what he himself has made up. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. It is only a wahi, a revelation that is revealed to him. So the scholars take from this that both the Quran and the Sunnah are both revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us concerning this deen, he did not make it up from himself, but rather it was taught to him by Jibreel alayhi salam. However, the only difference between the Quran and the Sunnah is that the Quran are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah spoke, and they are as Allah spoke them. Whereas the Sunnah, whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, that we find in the various ahadith, the content is from Allah, but they are the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so he taught us, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put it in his own words. And some of the ahadith, they are also the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as al-hadith al-Qudsi, those ahadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrates from Allah. So he says, Allah said such and such. And so the point is that we have to submit to the revelation, whether it be the Quran or the Sunnah. And we cannot follow our whims and our desires when they oppose the clear text of the Quran and the Sunnah. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, the great companion, he says, اتَّبِعْ وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ اتَّبِعْ وَلَا تَبْتَدِعْ. Follow and do not innovate. فَقَدْ كُفِيتُمْ. He said, follow, meaning follow the Quran and the Sunnah, follow what you have been taught, and do not innovate. Don't make up things from yourselves. Why? He said, فَقَدْ كُفِيتُمْ, because you have been given what is sufficient. You have been given of this deen what is sufficient for you. So there's no point in trying to add something from ourselves, whether it be in beliefs, in our aqidah, or whether it be in practice, in our ibadah, in our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because whatever Allah has sent us through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sufficient for us. If we come and say we need to add something here, we need to add something there, then it means we are basically accusing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First of all, we're accusing Allah of not having completed this deen. And secondly, we are accusing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of not having fulfilled his mission. That he left something out. Or that he knew, or that we know something today that he did not know. That we know something of this deen, whether it be of Allah or of this deen of Islam, that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not know. And so this is why it is dangerous to follow innovations and to follow our whims and our desires. Finally, we learn from this hadith the general danger of whims and desires and their evil effect upon us, and how they take control of us and lead us down a very deadly path. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in this hadith, that it is like a person who gets bitten and has the rabies, that basically it penetrates deep into him. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it penetrates in him, not leaving a single vein or a single joint. And so it penetrates deep into him, affecting him, leading to his death.